structure isn't just a list.
No, no. It's an argument in itself. It's saying the logic flows constantly from the most abstract philosophy right down to, like, really practical social applications.
Okay, okay. Let's try to unpack that structure then, starting with the fields. The range is huge.
It really is. You start with the big ones, metaphysics, teleology, theology, deontology.
Yeah, then it moves quickly through mathologic, physics, chemistry, biology.
And then crosses over into the human side. Linguistics,
yeah.
Then the psychosocial field, which bundles psychology and ethics together.
And finishes in the really applied stuff. Economy, industry, marketing, it covers so much ground.
But what really gives it its conceptual backbone, I think, are the add-ons. They aren't just labels. They seem to be the system's core hypothesis about what defines each field.
Okay, like what?
Well, for metaphysics, the add-on is confluentism, which sort of suggests the system sees metaphysics as being fundamentally about things flowing together, you know, convergence.
Hmm, confluentism and chemistry. What's the add-on there?
That one's really specific. Carbosilicon.
Carbosilicon. So based on carbon and silica.
Exactly. It's like the framework is saying chemical reality at its core is built around the bonding mechanisms of those two elements. It defines the field by its preferred way of building structure.
Okay, I see. But you said things get really critical when we hit linguistics.
Yeah, this is where it gets, well, really interesting. Like you said, the add-on for linguistics is symbionimity.
Symbionimity, like symbiosis, mutual benefit.
Seems like it, yeah. Like interaction through language or symbols. But then right after that, in the psychosocial field, psychology and ethics, the add-ons are love, joy, and wise.
So the linguistic structure comes right before the emotional and ethical stuff.
Exactly. And that connection is just crucial. Symbionimity implies this beneficial exchange, probably through language. Putting that right before love, joy, and wise, it's proposing something pretty radical.
What? That our deepest feelings, love, joy, wisdom, are somehow structured by language rules.
That seems to be the implication. That these psychological states are maybe processed, maybe even defined by the rules of symbiotic linguistic interaction. It's like it's trying to quantify human emotion using the rules of grammar and relationship.
Hang on, that's a massive leap, isn't it? If love is defined by linguistic structure, does that mean it's not really internal, but more a function of shared communication?
Precisely. It's a challenging idea. And that leads us straight into the apps column. This is where these concepts get operationalized, turned into applications.
And this column is a real mix, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a conceptual blender. Like you said, you've got technical tools, Simplex, Cyclon, fuzzy logic.
Alongside those very human concepts, souls, trustful, free, reward.
Right. The apps are like the output layer. They take these abstract rules and turn them into, well, usable metrics or functions.
Okay, before we dig into how those apps actually work, we need to quickly look at the key system. You mentioned that earlier. It sounds like the grammar underneath it all.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. The key organizes everything using numerical ranks and labels, things like OXY2 and FOXY2. But the really important part is how it divides reality into two basic types.
Which are?
Concretions and abstractions. Concretions are things like ancestoring, relations, standards, basically. Fixed, definable structures.
Okay. Solid things. And abstractions.
Those are the more fluid concepts. Pure, art, smart, liberty, community, improvement. They represent potential, ideals, things that aren't necessarily fixed.
So every field, add-on, and app gets tagged by this key system, telling us if it's fundamentally rigid or flexible.
That's the idea. The system uses these tags to maintain its own internal logic. So if an app deals with, say, economic standards, that's tagged as a concretion. If it deals with liberty, that's an abstraction. It sort of defines the rules of engagement for that element.
Right, we've got the abstract rules, the grammar. Now, where does the system connect back to, you know, actual physical reality? You mentioned substances and continuum tables.
Exactly. This is where it gets grounded. We start right at the bottom, the absolute basics. The vertical hierarchy begins with substances.
Like?
Unit, particle, atom, molecule, macromolecule, then protoplasm. That's your basic physics and chemistry layer.
Okay, the building blocks.
Then the structure flows up into biology, cell, tissue, organ, systems, and even systems pairs. And this progression isn't just random. It maps specific scientific fields onto these levels.
Ah, so you can see how complexity builds. Like, biophysics applies at the parka level.
Right. And cytology, the study of cells, is defined by the cell level. Neuroimmunology pops up when you get to systems pairs. It's like an evolutionary map showing how complexity emerges layer by layer.
And does it keep going? beyond organ system.
Oh, yeah. That biological scale continues right out into the wider world using standard taxonomy.
Yeah.
You go from domain, like eukaryote, through kingdom, plant, animal, fungi, then phylum, like vertebrate, class, order, family,
Walk
genus.
All the way to sapiens.
Exactly. The system is basically saying, look, the rules that govern a tiny unit particle are fundamentally the same rules that ultimately define human beings, just scaled up and interacting differently.
Wow. Okay. So to understand those universal rules, we need to talk about this Taiyinian thing you mentioned. That's key to the whole system's dynamics.
It seems to be the absolute core engine, yes. It uses this ancient tripartite concept, T-A-O, Y-I-N, Yan-Yan, to understand interactions at every single scale, from atoms up to societies.
Right. So T-A-O is the center.
T-A-O is the central organizing principle. It's associated with things like confluence, intention, formation, the balancing point, maybe.
And Yin and Yan are the two opposing forces or complementary forces.
Complementary is probably better. Yin is the sort of discrete, grounded, structuring force. Think discrete, essence, mass.
Okay, structure, like what?
Well, in physics, maybe decay forces. In chemistry, that foundational carbosilicon bonding we talked about. Processes of creation. It's the fixed architecture, the blueprint.
Got it. Which means Yan must be the active moving force.
Exactly. Yan is linked to expand, continuous substance. This covers the dynamic elements, weak forces in physics, the movement of electrons, neutrinos, processes of transformation. It's the energy, the action.
Okay, I think I get the physics part. But how does this Taiyinian idea apply in, say, biology? You mentioned DNA and RNA. That seems less intuitive.
It actually makes a kind of sense if you frame it right. Think of Yan as the stable blueprint and Yan as the active messenger or process. Yeah. So DNA is the stable essence, Yin, of the cell. It's the fixed structure, the core information. But RNA and processes like transcription and replication, those are about transformation and expansion, Yin. They use the DNA blueprint to do things, to build, to change.
And TAO fits in how?
The central organizing processes, like cell division, mitosis, and meiosis, those get associated with TAO, the formation and intention principle. It's a very elegant way to try and fit literally every known physical and biological process into this single dynamic framework.
Right. We've gone from TAO all the way up the biological ladder to sapiens.
Yeah.
Now, let's shift to maybe the most unique part of this system, the personal soul app. This feels like a huge jump, trying to define individual people using these universal principles.
It is a big leap. The soul's profile is basically built by linking two core elements that a user chooses, an animal and a color.
An animal and a color.
Yeah. It seems to be the system's attempt to map what it sees as deep biological archetypes onto conscious preferences or self-perception.
Okay, how does that work? The animal choice. The system links that to cell speciation. What does that mean?
It seems to me that your choice of animal archetype reflects some underlying biological tendency or pattern. And this animal dictates three inherent qualities the system calls offers. Basically, what your profile suggests you naturally provide to the world.
Okay, so I pick an animal, and that defines my offers and the color.
The color, or VUW, as it's sometimes called, is tied to the organism level, the whole being. Choosing a color and its qualities dictates three things the system calls wants. What your profile suggests you seek from the world or from others.
Okay, I have to push back a bit here. We've been talking about this framework, striving for rigorous consistency, grounding itself in physics and biology, but choosing an animal and a color, doesn't that make this whole soul application feel really subjective? Arbitrary, almost.
That's the obvious criticism, yeah.
How does the framework justify this leap from, say, carbosilicon chemistry to me picking, I don't know, an eagle?
Well, the defense, as far as I can tell, is that the choice only looks arbitrary to us. The framework claims these animal archetypes aren't just random symbols. They represent definable biological outputs stemming from that cell speciation idea. These outputs manifest as predictable patterns of behavior and contribution the offers.
So the system takes my subjective choice, I feel like an eagle, and maps it back to what it considers an objective archetype score. The eagle's specific biological offers.
That seems to be the claim, yes. It's definitely a bold one.
Okay. Let's use the app mock-up example they provide to make this clearer. Step one, user thinks of an animal. Let's stick with eagle. That locks in their three inherent offers, whatever the system says eagle offers.
Right. Step two, the user thinks about a color, say yellow. Then they choose three qualities they associate with yellow. The example uses adjective B, adjective D, and brave. That selection defines their three wants.
And then the app gives you an analysis.
Exactly. The output says something like, you are eagle. That's your core offering. Then it looks at your color choice. You say you are brave. That's your self-perceived want or quality.
And crucially, it also seems to suggest what other people might want or expect from you based on the other qualities associated with yellow that you didn't pick.
Yeah, it seems to use the color association as a way to calibrate your self-perception against a kind of external expectation matrix, all supposedly rooted back in that biological animal identity.
Wow. Okay. And you mentioned there's an extended model, too.
Uh-huh. It pushes the quantification even further. It adds plant choice, linked to deeper offers, maybe subconscious contributions, and digestion, linked to something called weeper wants.
Weeper wants, linked to digestion. That's specific.
Highly specific. It seems like an attempt to quantify even deeper, maybe unconscious drives or needs through biological functions.
And it connects these archetypes right down to preferences. The example mentions three flavors eagle likes. So, based on my animal and color choice, the system could predict my personality and my taste in food.
Potentially, yes. If you chose, say, a sloth and the color gray, the system might generate a profile predicting not just your ideal job, but maybe even your preferred snacks. It's trying to be truly holistic.
Okay, so we have this quantified soul profile. Where does it go from there? How does it become practical?
This is the bridge, the KCAP, custom rewarded task. This takes that abstract, quantified soul profile and basically turns it into a practical metric for, well, for matching people for tasks in a sort of gig economy.
Right. The example shows matching two individuals, Bob and Alice, for jobs like labor help or homesitting.
Exactly. And the output is a MATSE score. But that score isn't just one number. It depends on three key metrics that are derived from the whole underlying system. Souls, trust, and deal.
Souls, trust, and deal. Okay.
And the example gives scores. Bob has a soul score of 42. Alice has 60.
Which straight away suggests Alice's profile, based on her animal color input, is maybe seen as having greater capacity or being more desirable in this context.
That seems to be the implication, yeah. More quantifiable soul, according to the system.
What's really important here, I think, is understanding how these metrics, soul, trust, deal, supposedly link back to those fundamental principles we discussed earlier, like Tai Yin Yan or the psychosocial add-ons. Is there a connection?
The system implies a clear lineage. The soul score itself, defining that core identity and capacity, the offers, that seems logically tied to the organizing principle, TAO. It reflects the individual's intention and formation, their core being.
Okay, soul links to Tao. What about trust?
Trust, which is about reliability, consistency, maybe following rules that seems to link pretty directly to YN, or maybe to the concretions in the key system, adherence to standards, fixed structures, dependability.
Right, the stable structuring force. That leaves deal. That just sounds like making a transaction.
And that fits perfectly with Yan. Deal represents the active, transactional, perhaps expansive energy needed for an exchange to happen successfully. It aligns with transformation, the need for improvement maybe, the dynamic part of the interaction.
So the whole matching process for a simple task is framed as an application of these universal Taoinian forces playing out between two people.
That's exactly how it seems to be structured. It maintains that consistency right down to the application level.
Let's look at the scores for the labor help task again. The match scores are souls 60, trust 65, but deal only 25.
Right. So the high souls and trust scores suggest, according to the system, their core personalities and reliability are actually a pretty good match for this task. They get each other on some level.
But the deal score is low, only 25.
And that's the predicted sticking point. Despite aligning well on identity and trustworthiness, the system forecasts friction when it comes to the actual transaction. Maybe their negotiation styles, their expectations for reward, perhaps derived from those deep weeper wants, are just incompatible.